We have to be able to communicate clearly to our employees, to our team, to our subordinates in the military. And with that communication, if we give them clear guidance, then we can empower them to find the solution on their own. A lot of people think in the military, we're like, I order you to do this and I order you to do that. We don't have time for that. There's so much going on at the same time. You have to give clear intent and guidance and then empower your subordinates to take the initiative on their own and let them figure out how to solve the problem. But you can't do that if you can't communicate.
Welcome to the next episode of What's Next with Eric Wood. Our next guest is Colonel Eric Lopez. Eric has had 7 combat tours to Iraq and Afghanistan, to include commanding a company in a battalion in Afghanistan and serving as a battalion and brigade operations officer in Iraq. Colonel Lopez has had an extremely decorated career in the military. He has earned 4 Bronze Star medals during his combat deployments. He has successfully completed military training in multiple Army schools, including Ranger, Sapper, Air Assault, and Airborne. He was the honor graduate of Ranger School and Jumpmaster School. Lopez launched the leadership initiative through YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook titled Lopez on Leadership. His movement connects leaders of all ranks and branches to mentorship and coaching from senior leaders in the Army. Definitely check this out. In this podcast, we will discuss what his toughest training in the military was and how he got through that, what his 7 deployments were like, as well as his top leadership tips that translate to sports and business. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, and let me know in the comments what you like about the podcast and what guests you would like to hear in the future. No one is off limits, and I want to cater this podcast to you. Enjoy Colonel Eric Lopez. Eric, with this being Veterans Day week, I just want to first thank you for your service. Thank you for coming on this podcast, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I'm a big fan of the show, listen to it all the time, and just really glad to be on today.
Yeah, I feel like my life's been full of God winks and God connecting the dots in my life over this past few years being out of pro football, and I'm walking into the Music City Bowl down in Nashville, and I believe I just thanked you for your service, and I didn't realize that you weren't living in Nashville at the time, but you were going into the game. We started talking about UofL football and a number of other things. We got to connect online. So it's amazing to get you on the podcast this week and to dig in on you a little bit.
Yeah, it's been fun figuring out, you know, who you were and then starting to follow you from that initial meeting and then just to see all the great things you're doing and being a part of that. And so glad to just spend some time with you today.
For sure. Well, let's start off on you. Tell the listeners about where you're from, where you grew up, and what originally motivated you to pursue a career in the military.
Yeah, I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut. My parents were musicians. I grew up in a musical family, not in a real military family. My dad was drafted in the 60s, but New Haven, Connecticut is not the hub of the military there. I've got one sister. She's the real estate guru of New Haven. She's still there, and she makes the big bucks in the family. Grew up playing sports, basketball, baseball. But one night in junior high, we were watching rated R movie. We weren't supposed to be watching, and we watched the movie Platoon. And that was, won Best Picture in the mid-80s. And it was about this platoon in Vietnam going through all these tough struggles, and they really weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I remember looking at the lieutenant, the guy that was supposed to be in charge. And I said, you know what, if my generation goes to war, I want to be that lieutenant, but I want to do it right. And I want to have a good platoon, a good team that is moral and ethical and does the right things on the battlefield. So fast forward a few years, the West Point cadet recruiter came to the local high school, and I didn't even know what West Point was, but I went to listened to the recruiter and I was sold. He's like, hey, look, free college, get to serve your country in the Army. And I signed up from there, and that's kind of how my journey in the Army started.
And that's how your journey started. And then you've gone on to do 7 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And for someone like me, I can't even understand what that's like. Give the listeners just a little taste of what it's like when you're deployed overseas nowadays. And then for a guy with a family like yourself, how tough is that being away?
Yeah, Eric, it was an honor to stand side by side with America's finest in harm's way. It was just, it's been the highlight of my life. And you would not believe what these young Americans do every day on the battlefield. It really will blow your mind. Some of my early deployments, I deployed as a company commander to Afghanistan. Very austere. We were living out of a Afghan compound, 120 soldiers in my unit. We were right on the Pakistan border, and we were eating what we could cook over a fire. We literally, we were eating some days boiled meat, and it was like, okay, tonight for dinner, boiled meat, we're having it again. You know, we had one sat phone, satellite phone, and everybody would talk for 20 minutes a week. You got to call home on the satellite phone.
Wow.
And then we got hit with a rocket attack, and it like melted our sat phone, but we kind of pieced it together, and like you had to kind of hold it like this and talk into it. So it was pretty austere in Afghanistan at the beginning. In my Iraq deployments, had the opportunity to work hand in hand with the Iraqi army and really enjoyed that partnership, working together to fight against insurgents and Al-Qaeda and work side by side. And then in my last deployment, I deployed as a battalion commander. So I was in charge of about 700 men and women deployed to Afghanistan. And I'll just tell you, it was fun. I had fun over there. The partnership that we had with the Afghan army, I mean, those Afghan leaders were like my brothers, and we were going on long missions. We were slugging it out with the Taliban in the hills of Afghanistan, and the Afghan army was absolutely amazing to work with. And of course, our soldiers and everything that they did was absolutely amazing. And the great thing for me was I was able to take all my lessons learned, all the things I had done wrong, I had made these mistakes in my earlier deployment, and put them in and train really hard and deploy. And that's what made the deployment fun. But as far as the family, it was tough. It was tough to be apart, but I was torn because I wanted to deploy and I wanted to fight. You know, it'd be like playing on a football team and only going to practice, never getting to play in the game. So I wanted to deploy. I wanted to be on the front lines. But when I was deployed, I was like, man, I miss my family. And then when I was home with the family, I was like, man, I got to get back over there. The mission's not done. So it was tough. But I'll tell you, I have an awesome family. My wife, Christy, of 23 years. I've got 2 very strong, resilient boys, Ryan and Nathan. One's in college. One's a senior in high school. So that family made those deployments possible and supported me throughout the whole thing. But that's a little picture of what it was like going through the last 15 years.
Well, I love hearing you brag about your wife right there. Behind every great man, and you're doing big things, and you've got all these accolades, there's an even better woman. So hopefully she gets to hear this podcast and hear you brag on her, because I absolutely love that you did that and you recognize her, because there's no way that you can be overseas and be at peace and do your job fully if you didn't know your boys were being taken care of back home. It's remarkable. I love how you gave her credit. So for me, one of my favorite things to read about, study, are these different training regimens that go into each branch of the military, whatever they may be. What was the toughest training that you ever had to go through?
Well, it's kind of a toss-up. And the first one wasn't physical. It was mental. And that was West Point. Eric, I was not like top of my class. You know what I mean? I was, I struggled academically at West Point, and, you know, 2 semesters of calculus, 2 semesters of physics. It was tough, mentally. But physically really was Ranger school. And that's, you know, 63 days, 3 different phases. You have kind of a Darby phase, which is your intro phase. You have the mountain phase up in the mountains in North Georgia, and then you have a swamp phase. Eric, that mountain phase broke me off. I had nothing left. And I remember I made it through, and I called my girlfriend, Christy, you know, at the time, my future wife, and I left her a message. And she listened to the message, and she's like, oh, some poor guy is crying, and it's not for me. I don't know who this is. And she listened to it two or three times, and then she said, oh, that's Eric. I was mentally and physically broken after the mountain phase. I had lost a ton of weight, but I made it through. And the only advice I would have is really taking it one day at a time, one step at a time. A lot of times I think if we look at, you know, the big picture, how am I going to make it through 63 days of this? We just have to make it through one day, get up and do it the next day, and set those short-term goals. And that's really going to help us. And, you know, it's the same way with our faith as a Christian. You know, sometimes we get intimidated with everything that's going on and the environment and COVID, but you know what? God just wants us to live one day at a time, worship Him, be connected to Him, and go through like that. So those are the tough times that I had.
Yeah, I can't imagine 63 days of that. Our training camps were often tough, especially in college. They were a little bit tougher because we had true two-a-days back then. When I got into the NFL, practices lightened up a little bit in training camp, but there was always a game day not too far away, and there was always that something to look forward to. And so I know at 63 days you had something to look forward to, but that is such a much longer period than we ever had. And generally, we knew what was coming as far as a football practice the next day, a weight training, whatever it may be. Yes, we're going to be sore. They could add drills to practice, but you're going into the unknown. You don't know how much you're going to sleep, what they're going to feed you. We had all of that stuff controlled. So a totally different animal. And a lot of what you just said, approaching it day by day, there's a lot of people right now through this current time of COVID and social injustice and everything that's going on in 2020. Heck, there was the most named storms to hit the country ever this year. So there's people in the southern part of the United States dealing with these storms. In the western part of the United States, there's fires. We had a podcast guest get canceled last week because he had to evacuate his home because of fires. So many people are dealing with so much right now. And you know, for a lot of people, it's the toughest adversity they ever face in their life. But attacking it day by day, just push through that day. Be resilient, do what you know is right each and every day, and push through, and you'll come out on the back end. And I love how you described that through your explanation. And so I got to hear through your leadership training online another piece of advice you had for getting through Ranger School. Your best advice was to make sure a buddy gets through. Talk right. about that for a second.
Yeah, so everything you just talked about, all these hard times, the other piece that gets us through, besides being just day to day and taking it one step at a time, is the team aspect. You know, that's what's going to get us through when we work together, when we rely on each other, whether it's a football team, an army squad, the folks you work with. So the piece of advice that someone gave me when they were going into Ranger School was they said, focus on getting your Ranger buddy their Ranger tab, and you will take it. It'll take care of your stuff.
Right.
And what that's really saying is put other people first. It's that servant leadership piece. Put other people first. Always be thinking about them, and it's ultimately going to take care of you. And that's a great mantra for today with, man, if more and more people would think about others, put other people first, put the team first before their own needs, our communities, our teams, our businesses would be a lot better off.
It's amazing how often our podcast guests come back to that simple get outside yourself mentality. David Nurse on the previous podcast talked about walking into rooms, looking at his hands, how do I serve others? And that's what brings him joy. I've talked many times about my family. We are trying to live by Proverbs 11:25 to refresh other people. And it's amazing that even through the toughest times of military training, if you have that outward mindset, it's going to internally fuel you through your life. And we got to hear at the beginning of the podcast about where your military interest came from, the show Platoon. Where did your interest in leadership training Where did that essentially grow from?
It really began as soon as I got into the Army, because, you know, I'm a young lieutenant. I don't really know anything. I show up at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 101st Airborne Division. And what you see is people from all walks of life. You see people with master's degrees. You see, you know, kids from the country, kids from urban who grew up with nothing. But they come into the Army and they start to transform into a better version of themselves. And they start to transform into leaders. And that transformation has been what's kept me in the Army for 25 years. Just being a part of that. And once I saw that, I wanted to be even more a part of it. And that's really when I wanted to be a mentor. And how can I reach out to the maximum number of people and help them grow and develop as leaders? And then I saw that I could do that online and touch even more people and kind of expand that impact. So that's really where when it started, when I got into the Army and saw these Americans from all walks of life start to change and grow and transform. And I wanted to be a part of that and to increase that.
Our military will benefit from this. There will be countless families changed from that. So I'm grateful for your investment into all the individuals that you've worked for. And who are some of the leaders that you have learned from or continue to learn from to this day?
The first one I would share is my grandfather, Conrad Bear. He was a missionary along with my grandmother to China and Taiwan for 48 years. So if you can imagine what he went through, right. You know, this is in like the 30s and 40s, all the way through the, you know, the 70s when he came back to the US and they retired. The things that he went through, the communist revolution in China, being chased to Taiwan. And he was just a godly man. He just had a godly bearing, calm, passionate leader. And the some of the churches that he started in China still exist today. And it was funny growing up in Connecticut, you know, my grandparents, anytime they saw a Chinese person, you know, they spoke perfect Chinese. So these two old white, you know, people would kind of totter up to him, but then speak perfect Chinese and talk to him about being in China and being a missionary and being a Christian. And I grew up with my grandfather around me. So he was a great example. A second one that really had an effect on me when I was in battalion command, our honorary colonel of my battalion. So he was a Vietnam veteran. He was a retired brigadier general. He commanded a company in Vietnam. And his name was Bill Mullen. And his wisdom, his calm demeanor, just really affected me. And one of the things he helped me see was the guidance to put out to my battalion before we deployed. And we had a panel of Vietnam veterans who spoke to all our young guys who were getting ready, and women who were getting ready to deploy. And what came out of that panel was they said, look, we've been through Vietnam and we came back. And the people who did the best were people who deployed with honor, maintained honor, and redeployed with honor. And that's a mantra that we embraced in my unit, 2-2 Infantry. When we deployed, we were going to deploy with honor. We were going to do everything we did with honor while we were deployed. And then we were going to redeploy with honor. And those Vietnam veterans shared that with us. If you want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and know that you gave your best every day, you did what was right. And that really helped shape our deployment and helped shape me as a leader.
I'm excited to tell you about a product that I've been absolutely loving lately, and that's the Uller from ChiliPad. It is a temperature-controlled mat that goes under your sheets on your bed and controls your body temperature throughout the night. I originally heard this product endorsed by Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins, David Nurse, and others, and I knew I had to give it a try. Maximizing the amount of deep sleep you get in a night is so important, especially when it's not possible at times to get a full 7 or 8 hours. ChiliPad puts you at the perfect temperature all night to promote deep sleep. When you get enough deep sleep, your learning capability is higher, your memory is stronger, you're prepared to take on your toughest workouts, In other words, you're in peak physical and mental shape after a night of true recovery. That's why finding a way to get more deep sleep is always at the top of my priority list. I will attach a link to purchase the chili pad in the show notes and use code ERIC22 at checkout to get 22% off your order. I personally use the Uller and I love it.
It's incredible that you got to learn from both those individuals who were both, you know, a step ahead of you in life. And I've always said it's a lot easier to learn from, and I apologize if this is an offensive phrase. I feel like I haven't even thought about this till I'm speaking to someone face-to-face from the military, but it's better to learn from someone who's walked through the path and seen the landmines than you to just haphazardly guess through life or whatever it may be, sport, business, whatever. If someone already has been through it, getting to hear from their experiences and no better people than the people who have been to war and been to Vietnam and to learn from them. And that's an incredible story about your grandpa as well. And I think there's so many people in no matter sport or business that look to the military as having some of just the ultimate leaders in the world. And you are teaching leadership within the military. So no one better to hear from than you. What are some of your top leadership tips or traits of leaders that you think translate so well to business, sport, whatever it may be?
Yeah, Eric, I've got three I'll share with you. The first one we've already talked about is being that servant leader. And it applies in business, it applies in sports just as much as it does in the military. And that is, you're going to put the needs of your subordinates before your own needs. In the Army, officers, senior leaders, we eat last. Everybody else eats first. If there's enough food left, then we eat. And what that does is it builds trust. And when you have that trust inside your organization, you truly can accomplish any mission. Any mission they give you, whether it's to upset the best team in the nation on the football field, whether it's to overcome that mountain in the business world, or whether it's to do that impossible mission in the Army while deployed, if you have that trust that's built by and initiated through a servant leader leading the way, you're going to accomplish anything. The second thing would be to lead by example. And that's really the fact that our actions speak louder than our words.
Yep.
There's a great motto in the Army of one of the units that says, deeds, not words. Mm. And people are going to look at and follow what you do, not what you say. And that's a great thing to keep in mind. I used to tell my young officers that worked for me, hey, if the soldiers are doing it, you do it. If they're cleaning out the trash, you do it. If they're picking up the range, you pick up the range. If they're laying in the mud, you lay in the mud. When I was deployed, I used to have my radio man wake me up every night when we were on patrol. And I would go and just lay down next to each of the guys that was pulling security while some of us were sleeping. And I would just lay next to them, talk to them about, hey, what's going on at home? How's your family doing? You know, and then I would just go to the next one to let them know that shared hardship and try to lead by example. And then the third thing I would say is communication. We have to be able to communicate clearly to our employees, to our team, to our subordinates in the military. And with that communication, if we give them clear guidance, then we can empower them to find the solution on their own. A lot of people think in the military, we're like, I order you to do this and I order you to do that. We don't have time for that. There's so much going on at the same time. You have to give clear intent and guidance and then empower your subordinates to take the initiative on their own and let them figure out how to solve the problem. But you can't do that if you can't communicate. So those would be kind of my three leadership tips.
Those are three great ones. And I love the eat last mentality. I absolutely love that. And I got to see one of the best servant leaders I've ever seen. That's Sean McDermott towards the end of my football career. It was incredible to see just the servant approach he takes to each day and how guys respond to that. And our film looked a little bit different in 2017, my 1 year playing for him, because everybody was bought in. And a lot of that just came from him being willing to do everything that he expected us to do. It was great to play for him. You mentioned the lead by example and communication. that's where some leaders fall short, because, you know, with some of the best leaders I've been around can do both. But yes, they are the hardest working. Yes, they are studs on the field, whatever it may be, but then they can also communicate. This doesn't mean you have to be some eloquent keynote speaker, but they communicate what they expect from you. They communicate when you aren't living up to your standard. And I felt like you needed both to be that top echelon of leader. You can lead by example, but to be that top echelon, you need both. And you have a lot going on. I see it from the outside. And I've been fascinated recently by the morning routines that highly successful individuals keep. Do you keep a specific morning routine for yourself?
Yeah, Eric, I'm a morning person. You know, by about 4 p.m., 1600, as we'd say in the military, like it's shot up here. I don't have too much gas left in the tank, but in the morning I'm up and I'm firing. So I get up around 5:30 or 6 and definitely get a workout in. I used to be a lot tougher. I used to work out a lot harder when I was in the line and in some of those units like the 101st and 75th Ranger Regiment. I used to be a lot better in shape. But I still get a workout in, whether it's lifting weights, running. I do workout videos on YouTube. And then I definitely take time every morning to read the Bible or read you know, kind of a Christian book. I'm reading Tim Keller's book on marriage right now, The Meaning of Marriage. But I will tell you, all that goes out the window if Christy gets up. If Christy's up early, she's not a morning person, but if I can get some time just to spend one-on-one with her in the morning, I'll ditch the morning routine and I'll have my coffee and she'll have her tea and we'll just kind of spend time together. But usually I'm up getting that workout in and just getting in the word a little bit.
That's great. That's the exact same dynamic that me and my wife have. I generally get up and knock a bunch of stuff out, but if she gets up, then it's time for us to catch up a little bit before the kids get up. We have a 5- and a 2-year-old, so when they get up, that consumes so much of our time. I'm with you 100% on that. And the morning routine is about setting your day up for success. If you get to spend some extra time with Christy, set you up for success, then that is absolute, perfectly time well spent. And we're going to get into the recurring questions, put you on the hot seat here a little bit, Eric. And the first one, I know that you are a reader. Jim Quick, one of my favorite podcast hosts and leaders around the country, says that leaders are readers. So I'll start off. What is your favorite book?
I tried to think of like a not military book, you know, and come up with something different so I wasn't this cliche military guy, but I could. So Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield. The story of the 300 Spartans in the Battle of Thermopylae, where they hold off the Persian hordes and Leonidas is their leader. And, you know, he's with them side by side. He sleeps next to them. He's a servant leader, like we talked about, and the teamwork you see of those Spartans is just that had a huge impact on me. I read it when I was young, and that really connected with me. So that'd probably be my favorite book.
Honestly, I was introduced to the Spartan culture a little bit through a podcast recently, and I've been waiting for a suggestion on a Spartans book, and there's another God wink in my life, but I appreciate you recommending that. That is now in my queue of books to read. You've mentioned it before. You seem like a guy, and I know you're a guy that lives a fully integrated life with your faith and your work and everything else. I see it in your actions, but what role does your faith play in your life?
It has a huge role in my life. I'd like to think it is my life, that is all encompassing. I love you're talking about how it's your faith is integrated. It's not something you just do on Sundays, you know, and I think a lot of times as Christians, we get stuck in this checklist mentality. You know, I have to pray. Did I pray today? Did I read today? Did I memorize a Bible verse? And that can be tough because, man, the Christian relationship, the Christian faith is not about what we do. It's about what God did for us and about what Jesus did for us. So connecting to that and finding that power, that daily relationship, and then you want to do all those things to better connect with your Creator. So that's man, my faith is a huge part of my life, and love being involved at Southeast Christian Church, just like you are. Love being involved in marriage mentor programs, marriage and mentoring young pre-married couples through a program at Southeast. Being on the board for Proven Ministries, which is about helping the body of Christ, find sexual integrity, and really fighting against, the epidemic of pornography in our culture. So I'm involved in a lot of different ways, but faith is a huge part for me.
This wasn't in the show notes, and this is not a recurring question, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this on the podcast. For someone in for young individuals in a relationship, give me one top advice that you give them.
You talking for marriage tip?
Yep.
Yeah. The biggest one is to really be honest with each other and to be real. I think a lot of times our relationships, as we're dating and starting to get to know people, we're going to hold our cards. We're only going to show the best part of ourselves to the other person. So sometimes we got to be very real about how that other person is and not overlook a lot of those things that are very different from us, and start to communicate about those things early. You may come from extremely different family backgrounds that really look at the world very differently. That's going to be tough to integrate and meld those two things together. But if you can be real about it, start communicating about it before you're married, you're not going to have that bucket of ice water over your head when you realize that this person is totally different from me, and you're trying to work it out afterwards. So you can set some good habits of communication early while you're dating, before you actually jump into marriage.
Along those lines, and I promise this is my last question on this subject, what would you say to couples that say, to avoid that ice bucket water moment, we want to live together beforehand just to kind of give it a trial basis or to get used to each other before we get married?
It seems like it makes sense, right? Trial run, drive the car before, but it really doesn't, because you're building bad habits. And the habits you build when you live with somebody but you're not married is what I call the 50-50 relationship, where I'm only contributing 50% and they're contributing 50%, right? And okay, I did the dishes, so I just went to 51%, so now you need to do the dishes. That's not how we want to live when we're married. We want to be 100% dedicated to pleasing and serving our spouse. And what a great marriage is when you're 100% dedicated to them and they're 100% dedicated to you, and you're living 100% marriage, not a 50-50 tit for tat. I pay the electric bill, you pay the sewage bill. That's a dangerous road to go down, and it really can build some bad habits for when you're actually married.
It's amazing the direction some of these podcasts can go, but that is such good information, and I appreciate some clarity around that. What was your first car?
My first car was a Toyota Corolla, aka the Blue Bomb, well known by all the friends and family back in New Haven, Connecticut. This thing had a lot of character. We'll just say had a lot of character. I remember one of the things was, if you rolled, it had the old the window handles. Yeah. And if you rolled the handle down, the door would open. So my buddies or my date would get in, roll the window down, and then I'd have to pull them back in. But the Toyota Corolla served me well as a young high school student.
Yeah, the Blue Bomb, a little foreshadowing to a future career in the military. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
I'd have to say it's Louisville's favorite son, Chris Redman.
Nice.
He had me on his Game On show once. And kind of a funny story. Like, my people that worked for me said, hey, sir, you're going to go on, you're doing this YouTube interview. And they didn't really tell me what it was. So I show up at this football field, and, like, I'm looking at these two guys, and I'm like, that looks like Dion Branch. I'm pretty sure that's Dion Branch. So I'm like talking to him, and then Chris Redman's there, but I didn't know who he was. And then I'm like, I did the whole thing with his dad. We did this interview on leadership and football, and it was a great interview. But then we're walking out, and I'm like Googling real quick, and I'm like, this is Chris Redman. Okay, I got it. So I got his phone number, and I love watching his what he does with local high school sports here in Louisville. And so he's probably the coolest and most famous person in my phone.
Yeah, and Red's one of my favorite people in this whole world. That's a good one. What's your favorite restaurant?
Eric, I'm huge on the restaurants in Louisville. I got a little chart, you know, and I got the ones I want to go to, the ones I've been to. Nice. So I would say I really like Buck's in Old Louisville is a definite winner, kind of that old school restaurant. Muscle Burger Bar downtown Louisville, and then Brown Hotel. You know, you got to go get the hot brown at the Brown Hotel, but probably the one. Every Saturday, I tell Christy, I'm like, you know, we should go to Biscuit Belly. We should go to Biscuit Belly. So I love Biscuit Belly, and I'm always trying to think of a reason why to go there. And she's like, we can't keep going out to eat to Biscuit Belly, or we're going to have a belly. But those are probably my favorite restaurants here in the Louisville area.
Dude, I love that you got the list. I'm going to have to compare because I'm a foodie guy as well. And last question for me. What's next for Eric Lopez? You've accomplished so much. You're doing the leadership training, and you've done so much through the military. What's next?
Big change. Big change for me. Big change for the Lopez family. I will retire from the Army in the spring, and I'm going to go run a Christian family resort in upstate New York in the Adirondack Mountains. It's called Camp of the Woods. It's a phenomenal place. It's a family camp. You come there with your family and friends. They have great speakers that come in and speak each day through the week. Guys like Robbie Zacharias, who recently passed, Lon Solomon, Alistair Begg, you know, great kind of evangelical leaders of our time. And it's just a great place to get away with your family. God opened a lot of doors. So I'm going to go do something totally different than the Army and go up and run a Christian family resort.
Man, I'm proud of you. That is obedience to your faith. That is a great reward for a phenomenal career in the military. I want to congratulate you on that. And me and my family, I promise, we'll get up there at some point. That sounds absolutely awesome. And as many of the listeners know, I have an affinity for upstate New York and Western New York. So that'll be an easy trip for us to make. And you have so much more valuable content online, and I want everybody to get online and access it. Please tell the listeners where they can find you in all of your social media and everything else online.
Sure. Lopez on Leadership on YouTube and Lopez on Leadership on Instagram. I'd love to connect with anybody and answer questions or dialogue. And Eric, thanks for having me. It's been an honor to talk to you and spend some time today.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on. I'm so glad God crossed our paths walking into the Music City Bowl. And I appreciate the impact that your words have had on me, on the listeners, and the countless families and family trees that you will have impacted through all of your leadership and all of you pouring into so many people throughout your career in the military.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an honor being in the Army for 25 years. And yeah, thanks for spending time today.
Yep. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for listening to What's Next with Eric Wood. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please rate it 5 stars and subscribe. That goes a long way for us with this podcast. Tune in a couple weeks for another new episode.